to sheaves. And in our previous session, we spoke about seed actions, and I gave you a few examples of that. These sessions are available on our app, and you can listen to them whenever you have a chance. Today, I want to talk to you about seed as heritage, seed as a heritage. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 to 7, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream, which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf," just take notice of the words, "arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." In the following dream that Joseph has, he uses the imagery of the sun, moon, and the stars that also bow down to him. And we know that this was a picture of his family coming and submitting to him when he was governor of Egypt so that they could get through the famine. Now, using this agricultural imagery, I just want to convey something to you before we get into the actual message. Stalks of grain, so one stalk of grain, and a stalk can have many grain heads, but the stalk of grain, when it is bound together, it makes one sheaf. But when you take several sheaves and put them together, they are called bundles of grain, or the sheaves, when they are tied together, also referred to as bundles of grain. So when you look at Joseph's imagery of what he is describing in his dream, he's basically seeing the families of his brothers coming and bowing down to him and his family while they were in Egypt during the famine. Now, each family member is a stalk of grain, and tied together, we become one sheaf. So, a family unit, one single family unit, is a sheaf. But when you put several of the sheaves together and you bundle them up, then that is a representation of sheaves or bundles of sheaves of families coming together as and represented as bundles of sheaves. But remember that the whole process of the stalk and the grain and the sheaf and the sheaves all begin with a seed. So seed carries the principle of heritage. So for instance, the family of Joseph came to him when he was in Egypt, but Joseph was carrying the seed. And eventually, he had seed even for all the nations that came in, as you read the book of Genesis. So, seed carries the principle of heritage, of legacy, of inheritance, and ancestry. So, Genesis 22, verse 18, God speaking to Abraham, he said to him, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Even when David was on the throne, God promised him that his seed or his descendant will establish his kingdom. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 12. Excuse me, God said to David, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom." So our seed is our descendants that carry the heritage that will pass to them. Now, as described, our families that are figuratively described as a sheaf must receive Christ the seed so that it will be passed as a heritage, as an inheritance, as part of our legacy from generation to generation. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, when Adam and Eve partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when they were seduced or beguiled by the serpent, and they partook of that particular tree, and God spoke to the serpent, and this is what he said. And he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." Now, when you read the scripture, you will see that the word seed is in capital letters. Between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. The word his is also in capital letters. So the woman is a picture of the church and seed is Jesus Christ. And Galatians chapter 3 verse 16 tells us now to Abraham and his seed. Again, capital letters referring to Jesus Christ. Where the promises made, he does not say and to seeds as of many, but as to one, and to your seed, and it says the seed is Christ. So the woman is now the church, and we carry the seed called Christ, and this is enmity between Satan's kingdom and the kingdom of God, but it is reliant on us knowing that we carry a very specific seed in us, and that seed is called Christ. So Satan also sows seed, just as wheat tares are sown amongst the wheat. But it is only the seed of Christ that is able to bruise the head of Satan. Satan sows seed through the principle of seduction, through beguiling, through doubt. And this is what caused Adam and Eve to lose their sonship with God, because they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Christ the seed comes to restore our identity as the sons of God. And this is the heritage that needs to be passed from one generation to the next generation. That Christ the seed must come into our lives so that our identity with God the Father can be restored. Now, it is always the assignment of the enemy to kill the seed. We see that in Pharaoh in Egypt in the book of Exodus 1, 15 to 16, when he wanted all children that were male, that were born by the Hebrew woman, to be killed. We see that in Haman, who was in Persia, who wanted to annihilate the Jews because he did not want the continuation of their legacy, because it is through the Jews that Jesus Christ the seed would be born. That's in Esther chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. We see it in Herod, who represented the interests of Rome, and in Matthew 2:16, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he was very angry and he put forth a decree to kill all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time determined. So these are the kingdoms of this world, Pharaoh, Persia, or rather Egypt, Persia, and Rome. These are kingdoms of this world, and their main attempt is to kill the seed of Christ in us. So Jesus came through an ancestry. His genealogy is listed in the book of Matthew chapter 1 and even Luke chapter 2 and 3. So Christ is the seed that restores the foundation of humanity, which is family. So we as sheaves is a picture of spiritual families that must now carry the seed of Christ in our spiritual DNA. Our biological DNA comes from our earthly families, our lineage, but we also create a spiritual DNA that comes from Christ. So when we as sheaves bow down to Joseph in Egypt, and Joseph is a picture of Christ, so while we are in this world, we are not of this world, but we submit ourselves to Christ, the seed in this world, then we are placed in a safe place called Goshen, as I explained in the series that we did previously. And this protects us from the famine in this world. So Christ is our Joseph, and when we draw near to him, we are protected. Now, God knew Abraham, and this is what it says. God knew Abraham. That means he had a relationship with Abraham. Abraham was called the friend of God, because God shared secret counsel with him and secret things with him. God knew Abraham, but he knew him for a very specific reason. And this is very important for us to latch on to what I just want to share with you. God knew Abraham in Genesis 18, verse 19. It says, "For I have known him," and I've shared previously on the word know of the way in which God knew Abraham. And it says, "In order that he may command his children, his seed, and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So God knew Abraham so that he may command his children in and his household in the way of the law. So for Christ, the seed, to remain in our heritage, to be passed in our ancestry, to be part of our inheritance and legacy, there has to be a commanding of our children to keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice. And that requires us as parents to instill the seed into our children through various ways that we can practice. And it is important that that seed that we put in will lead to a sheaf and will lead to a bundle of sheaves and the continuity of Christ from generation to generation. What we see now is the mixing of the seed. What we see now is a genetic modification of the seed. What we see now is that the seed is losing its value from generation to generation. The authenticity, the originality, the ancient path has to be restored to our generation so that the seed called Christ is not lost. So, because children are now being exposed, and when I'm using the word children, I'm using it in the context of seed, because they are now exposed to a mixed culture, the value of Christ the seed is being lost because it is being tainted with the commercialization of religion and what we see in the entertainment industry of church, etc. And then the value of Christ the seed is not appreciated anymore. We have to recapture that so that sheaves, families of generations to come will continue to carry the seed of Christ. Christ the seed is our heritage. Deuteronomy 4 verse 40, you shall therefore keep the statutes and his commandments which I command you today, that it may go well with you, your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. So it is our duty to command our children in the ways of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice. And we can do that by instilling the seed of Christ into them. Christ is the seed in our heritage. We must endeavor to pass the seed down from generation to generation so that more seed will become a sheaf and bundle of sheaves so that the families of the earth can be blessed because of the seed of Christ that is in us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the principle of seed in family. Thank you that we see the next generation as our descendants and as our seed. But we also accept the responsibility that the seed called Christ must not die, that we need to see ourselves beginning to implant this seed in the next generation so that bundle of sheaves of families would have Christ the seed. Just as Israel and his children came and bowed before Joseph, who was a representative of Christ the seed, and they multiplied and grew and became a nation. The same way we are the holy nation, and Christ the seed has to be multiplied from one generation to the next generation so that the seed of Christ will continue to grow in authenticity, in its value, in so that we have a generation that can be commanded to walk in the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and to do justice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.